Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here's a positive for you on a year of knots. Once again this year, BJ and Megs have teamed up with the Washington State Council Firefighters in Operation Warm for Coats for Kids. Helping out new kids with a brand new coat. And it's a wall, the cold weather approaches. If you just donate $20, that puts a brand new coat on a Washington State child in need. Any donation whatsoever will help. The goal is to get enough coats for 1,750 kids.
Okay.
So not an unattainable mark by any stretch of the imaginations. Rockaholics helping Rockaholics. Coats for Kids Day is presented by The Advocates. Head to KISW.com and give what you can. We'd really appreciate it. Our question, who or what was responsible for the damage done? 206-421-ROCK.
First of all, just so you know, every fifth comment that's coming our way points out to our boy Glenn Cannon, because he has the band The Damage Done. So every time you ask the question, we get more, it's Glenn Cannon's fault. So Glenn, if you're listening, the world blames you. Someone here, it says, we just bought our house in August of 2019. It had everything I wanted as a man. Great garage, attached shop, and a chicken coop in the backside. Well, in July of 2020, we had a garage fire, lost everything, burnt to the ground, including my entire flock of chickens.
Oh, no.
It turns out it was the chickens that caused the fire by knocking over a heat lamp.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's got to make you feel a little better.
Okay. Well, they were responsible for the damage. Who or what was responsible for the damage done? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing good, Brian. Thanks, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Trying to stay sane in this stop-and-go traffic out here.
Oh, good luck on that.
Should be easy.
Yeah, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. But, so I used to work at a tile vendor in Kent, and we had a manager. It's actually, he did two things. We operated the stand-up reach forklifts, the ones that actually the forks extend out.
All right.
Like, pick up. So he went and took this forklift, drove it around the back, went up to grab something off the top rack, puts his forks into the pallet, and then puts his forks into the drywall behind it, which is fine. But then he lifted it and tore the whole sheet of sheetrock off the wall.
Now, when he does that, does that knock over anything else?
Luckily, it didn't, but it tore the sheetrock off and caught the emergency sprinklers.
You go.
Yeah. So, tore that off, flooded water everywhere, fire alarm goes off, fire trucks are involved. It's all bad. All bad.
Yeah, it sounds all bad.
Yeah, and he goes missing for about 10 minutes afterwards, and then we find him in the back corner in the fetal position on one of the pallets, just rocking back and forth.
I mean, it's not like he killed anybody, right?
No, nobody got hurt, luckily. It was just damage to the wall and obviously all the product that got soaked.
Yeah, I was going to say, see, I would run and try to figure out, where do you turn off the water valve?
You don't. You call the fire department's my guess, right?
Yeah, the fire department had to come out and turn off the water main from the street and the fire alarm that would not stop.
So was the stuff that was in the warehouse, was it damaged by water or was it salvageable?
There was some of it that was salvageable. Porcelain tile can get wet and there's not really an issue, but there's the ceramic stuff is super absorbent. So that we lost pallets of that stuff.
Did that guy keep his job?
Yes, he did. And these forklifts were battery powered, big industrial batteries. So you have to take those and hook a hose up to them and balance the electrolytes in it and like balance it out with some water. And this guy flooded one of the batteries and had the hose going full blast for 45 minutes solid and just drained battery acid and water all the way out into the driveway. It was all crystallized, looked like salt. Terrible.
That can't be good.
But it can't be good.
I still have a job.
I don't know. Hey, look, it's hard to explain. Some people, for whatever reason, are forgiven. There's a guy we brought up before. His name is Chip. We used to work with him back in Baltimore, and he's a nice guy, all right? But one of the things you don't do, just standard in radio, when you're running the board, in other words, where you look at a radio station where you see all the buttons and lights, that controls everything. So what you don't do is drink things, right? Because it's all electric.
Or eat.
But you can, because stuff falls into this and it doesn't take much to short circuit these things. So we used to have an engineer named Ray. Ray was always exceptionally clear about all the rules all the time. And sure, we violated a few, but you were smart enough not to ever drink over the board. Well, Chip would work the overnight shift. I come in the following morning, and everyone just looks kind of pissed off. I don't see Chip. And Ray, the engineer, explains to me, because I'm going to see an email in my inbox. It's not directed at me. It went to everyone. They're very emphatic about not drinking over the board. Chip had come in with a big gulp from 7-Eleven. Sorry.
I know. It's just funny that, of course, he's a
big gulp. Thing slips out of his hands, hits the board, and shorts this whole thing out. And at the time, the station we were on was kind of an easy listening, be the equivalent of a, like, Warm here or something like that. Yeah. But it was a popular station. Wasn't very good, but people really liked it. Anyway, whole station goes off the air. You can't control anything. Engineers get called. And he said this went down at like 2:30 in the morning, right? He's home asleep, but he's got to show up. He replaced the whole board. And as he's explaining to me, he said, this is a brand new board. Not new, but pulled it out of the closet, so to speak. I've had to reattach everything, resolder everything. Meanwhile, the old board that Chip spilled his entire big gulp into, that's being clean. Because as the engineer explained, all the cola or all the sugar in the cola that crystallizes.
It'll rust everything.
So that's what I walk into that day. Everyone's kind of laughing about it because, of course, Chip would be the guy that does that. So now I'm working up until midnight. And Chip shows up, and he's got a bag from 7-Eleven. He's got another big gulp. I'm like, man, whatever you do, because he's even kind of chuckling about it. I said, bro, whatever you do, man, just don't drink it over the board. Well, he didn't, but he knocked it over, and it went back.
Oh, my God.
This is the next freaking day, man. So CBS Radio is losing their mind. They think he must be doing it on purpose, because no one could possibly be this stupid, right? Especially when you are the culprit. They send out the email. Well, they don't know Chip. Chip is exactly that stupid. He still did not lose his job.
And Chip was probably more upset that he lost his soda was when he had done
stand board. He didn't pay for the soda.
His parents did.
His parents did.
But did it too.
Don't you remember Chip, like, you walk in the office like, hey, it smells like a crab cake. He's like, yeah, I've got leftover crab cake, lobster, and Alaskan king crab from last night's dinner.
I was eating a marlin cup.
Where the hell did you go to dinner? Oh, you know.
Rusty Scupper.
Parents and I went out, so, you know.
I was eating a mallow cup.
9 meals to go.
I got pulled to the side. Well, took them a little while to figure it out, but they were like, hey, whoever basically just keeps shaking the hell out of the vending machine, you know, there's a place to put change and all this kind of crap to get your food out, quit doing it. Well, it was me. But I'm hungry. I'm broke. They're not paying. So I'm shaking this thing. It would never fall out. That is your meal. And it was always the mallow cups, but I hate mallow cups. But they were in there the losers. Like, I'm trying to get the Kit Kat, but before you could get one Kit Kat, like, 4 mallow cups come out, right? So I'd eat the mallow cups. Finally, our old boss, Bill Pasha, pulls me aside. He's like, I know it's you shaking the vending machine. I said, it is, man. And I'm not trying to be difficult here. I don't have enough money. And I got a 50-cent raise.
Per hour?
Sweet. Hell yeah.
Nice. Who or what was responsible for the damage done? 206-421-ROCK.
Man, I remember when 7-Eleven had their fancy, like, we're going to have deli sandwiches now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, somebody just dropped off just, like, cases of them one Saturday. And, like, nobody else was there except me. So I called my buddy and I said, hey, you need to come up from our house with bags. Now. He was like, what do you mean? And I was like, these sandwiches are going out of date tomorrow. Tonight we feast.
Hell yeah, man. Ah, radio. Hello, Amy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So years ago, I used to be a volunteer firefighter, and part of our continuous training, we got to work with the vehicle excavation tools, like the Jaws of Life.
Okay.
And we had a contract with a local wrecking yard that would like let us destroy cars. And so one night, it was after hours, and it was training night, and they set out a couple cars for us to basically destroy to practice with these tools. Well, come to find out the next day that actually only one of the cars was for us. The other one was a car that a girl had bought with her dad that they were going to fix.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it was obviously like a week after that, it was on the front page of the local paper of how bad we messed up.
Oh, man.
What kind of car was it?
I don't remember. This was like 20 years ago that I was doing this, but it was a fixer-upper. It wasn't like super expensive, but the fire department had to pay.
You know, when you're 16 years old,
Dad
got me a car. We're going to fix it up. I'm going to have a car to drive, you know?
Yeah, it was on the picture on the front page of the paper. It like showed her, like she was just like, what?
So do you guys like get in trouble for that? Is it understood what happened?
Did she get a better car, hopefully?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, they just cut her a check. It was only like a $600 car, so it wasn't super expensive, but it was just really embarrassing going, oh, yeah, well, we didn't communicate, obviously, with the wrecking yard and just assumed, oh, this is our car and destroyed it.
Honest mistake.
That's great, though.
I know. On some level, that's awesome.
Come on, go like, my car. Like, what the hell happened to my car?
I showed the picture to my parents. I'm like, hey, I got to take the roof off that car.
Hey, don't feel bad. Steve destroyed some 16-year-old girl's car.
I did. Rolled that bitch over 7.5 times, I think it was.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, the guy was like, hey, I rebuilt this with my daughter. I'm like, cool, man, but you can drive it tonight. Thank you, player. I appreciate it. The girl's kind of excited. Yeah. When they got it back, it was on the back of a flatbed truck. And it looked like a stick of butter.
Nothing was left.
The top was gone. Mm-hmm. That was a weird moment. I remember making eyes with Dad right there. It's like, ooh, he wants to kill me, but he's setting a good example for his daughter.
I remember signing the waivers. Do we really have to sign these? I think you guys should. Yeah, whatever.
They were right.
Who or what was responsible for the damage done? 206-421-ROCK.
I mean, who would ever actually flip one?
By the way, we will never be allowed to do that again.
No, I don't need to.
No.
I do not need to do that again. Oddly enough, I flipped the car 7.5 times. They have a flipping competition, and the guy that won only went over 3.5. That's right. Who's the man now? Right. Hello, Courtney. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Courtney. Thanks.
I'm enjoying a blue dum-dum. It says mystery flavor, and even though I'm eating it, it's still a mystery. So congratulations. They're right.
It wasn't me that did this, but my friend, she works at the Port of Tacoma, and she drives the trucks to and from the ships that they take the containers off of, and then they load them onto this truck, and they got these, like, train-like, they're connected by, like, these train-like things, you know?
Okay.
And they carry them from each ship, and she had a load of probably seven or eight of the containers, and they were full of brand-new Dodge trucks, and the guy that connected them, he didn't latch it, like, lock the thing, I don't know what it was, but he didn't lock something on it, and when she turned the corner driving it, all the containers tipped over, and it totaled about probably 30 to 40 brand-new trucks.
Ah, wow. You got to wonder where those Dodge trucks are being shipped in from. Detroit? You know what I mean? Like, it's a big boat coming from China, right? Right. Isn't that typically how that works out in Tacoma? I'm just kind of curious. Or is that from Mexico? Where are these coming in from?
I think they were coming from Asia, Europe area.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Asia-Europe area.
You know, the Eastern Hemisphere.
Right,
I like the way she's getting them all
exactly.
in.
Though.
I know. Hey, dude, I'm thinking about you, Africa, but you ain't making cars. Mm-hmm. Come on. Come on, dog. We know.
Yeah.
From Asia or Africa?
Europe? I don't know.
Europe? I'm not sure.
Who or what was responsible for the damage done? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Bill. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey. How you guys doing? What's up?
Doing great.
Hola.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I got a little story about when I was a kid. It's kind of a G story, so. We grew up in Montana, and we had a big picture window in the front of our house, and I was out shooting squirrels or something with my BB gun, and I shot a hole right in the middle of that big picture window with my BB gun by accident. And I came in, I was just waiting for my dad to get home. He comes in, starts screaming and yelling, and I was just about to confess, and my brother confessed.
What? Was he trying to save your ass?
No, he had been outside shooting cans, and he had thought that he must have ricocheted or something. I didn't mean to do it, which didn't really matter to my dad. And so, being the good brother that I am, I kept quiet for like 25 years.
Yeah, I would have too, man.
And my dad was mad about it. Every holiday dinner, it got brought up. And when my brother got a job when he was 18, my dad made him pay him $1,000 in a new humongous picture window.
Is that how much it cost to replace it?
Yeah, it was a big window. And this was like back in like 90, you know. So anyway, when he died, me and my brother took him up to the mountains of Montana and sprinkled his ashes. It was a really touching moment. So I told my brother, and he didn't think it was funny at all.
Even after all that time.
Right. And he asked me for the $1,000, but he didn't have a receipt. So,
is this as you're spreading the ashes?
Yeah, and at this point, Dad will never know the truth. He was always mad at your brother. You know what I mean? Like, that's why your brother was mad. You know, like, in his lifetime, you could have said, by the way,
father never forgave him for that.
I love you. I'm glad I get to see you for this last weekend. It was me. I was responsible for the bay window. Not my brother.
Instead, you're like, I still can't believe what Dave did.
He went to his grave thinking that your brother did that to his picture window.
Guaranteed he liked me better for my whole life.
Sure he did.
Yeah, for sure.
He's pissed.
Well, I kind of like it, man. Look, there's certain things my parents would go to the grave just not knowing. I don't want to go through it now because sometimes they listen, but I got in huge trouble once for a party I threw at their house or out of town. The things they don't know, and I got in a lot of trouble. I mean, a lot of trouble because they found a lot of evidence of bad things. They didn't find it all. So I was kind of like, I mean, and I'm getting my ass ripped apart, man, but all I can think is, well, they haven't brought up this or this, so like, you know what, man? And even if I bring it up to them now, like, my mom still gets this look. Like, it really hurt them, pissed them off kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yeah, they don't need to know.
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff like that. We knocked a leg off a dining room table. This dining room table was, like, for 8 people. And so, Ted, do you remember the days of knee football?
Yeah, of course.
This is when we were bored. But there was a big area where we could play knee football, and it was in the dining room. Dining room was pretty big in their house. So that's where we played knee football. There's nothing in there to break. It's just the
they thought.
Just the dining room table, all the chairs and all that stuff. A buddy, Pat, goes into the dining room on the leg into the table and takes the entire leg and snaps it inside. It breaks, right? The whole thing breaks. Now, unlike most tables now where the legs kind of screw in, or
sure.
This was a hard-wired table. So that was kind of like the cuts that they made were kind of how the leg grooved into the actual table. We had the great idea that we would take some wood, glue. All right, well, wood glue.
It's not built for that.
It kind of looks like bubble gum. It's like this tan-looking stuff, and it bubbles out. So we tried that, and we put it in there, and it wouldn't stick. We also have vices out and stuff. Like, we're really trying to just glue this table back.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, we got crazy glue.
Crazy
glue, and we glued the leg back on the table. Apparently, later on, when his parents moved, they put his parents into a adult living community.
All right.
They had to sell the table. So they had this big, house sale of all their stuff because, what do the kids want, right? And they had this dining room table.
I don't want
this
table. It's broken.
It was like an old antique table. All the chairs are there, all that stuff. Well, they never used the table. And if they did, it held up, right? So this family agrees to pay, $500 or something for this used table and chair set, which is a lot of money because it helps them move in. That was the whole point of doing this estate sale. And as soon as they picked the damn thing up, the leg fell off. And so they thought that they were trying to sell them a piece of crap.
Right.
And eventually, my buddy Pat's like, yeah, we're playing knee football 15 years ago. And it took the leg off the table. So they never moved the table. Just sat in the dining room.
They couldn't sell it after that?
No. They were going to sell it to somebody on the estate sale. And they couldn't because when they picked the damn table up, the leg fell off. The table never moved. It's a dining room table. Right. People never do anything to the dining room. It wasn't even touched. They might have eaten on it, and it might have been fine.
Sure.
As soon as they picked it up to move it, the damn thing fell off.
You know what? It's that table's fault.
Right. The football.
I won't hurt anything. It's a Nerf.
Right? We used to play with a pillow sometimes.
Who or what was responsible for the damage done? 206-421-ROCK.
You're in the men's room. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
This happened last week. Two people injured when a van crashed into the front of a business Wednesday evening in Seattle. According to police and firefighters, they were called at 6 p.m. At the Lake City Way Northwest location of the Beyond the Cloud Vapory, a van crashed through a business. Van's driver, 57, and a 60-year-old employee were injured in the crash. The employee was taken to the hospital in stable condition. Driver initially did not seek medical treatment, but later was taken to the hospital. It is not known what caused the crash, but either way, he drove that van right into the business. Who or what was responsible for the damage done? 206-421-ROCK.
Need my vape juice.
Hello, Lisa. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Basically, my ex and I, we've always hated being in the car with each other when we're driving. Because I drive defensively, he drives aggressively. And we're always telling each other that we're the better driver. Well, come to find out, turns out I am. A few years ago, he was driving my car. I'd never been in an accident in that car. One night, he's doing me a favor, I have to say. He was picking something up from the store for me. But I get a call from a strange number because he didn't have a phone at the time. And it was him telling me that he got in an accident, he got hit. And but he swears up and down it was not his fault because the girl didn't have her headlights on. He pulled out in front of her. She hit the back of my car, the driver's side rear panel. Because he couldn't see her because she didn't have lights on, he claims that it wasn't his fault. Like he swears up and down it's not his fault.
Well, she hit him. Sounds to me like if you hit the back driver's side door panel,
sure.
Yeah,
you're responsible, unless he ran a red light or something.
He pulled out in front of her.
I got you. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
I see why he thinks she's right, but legally, I had never been in an accident before in my car. I had that car for 5.5 years. And then everything that could go wrong did go wrong with that car.
After the accident.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Cars get in accidents, then it spirals.
Or you just finish paying it off.
Exactly. And you probably did just finish paying it off, right?
No, I mean, I paid cash for it when I first got it. It was just a 2000 Dodge Neon. It wasn't anything real special, but it lasted me a long time.
Right.
Yeah, but it's still your ride.
Yeah, it's your car. It's how you get from point A to point B.
I was so sad when it happened, but yet I'm still the one, and I still tell him to this day, that at least I didn't get, at least I haven't been in an accident.
No, wait. But this is your ex, right?
Well, yeah, we have a, he's my daughter's father now, actually.
And you still bring up the driving, huh?
Well, that's because it's the only thing I really got on him.
All right, hey, that's fair, though.
Take what you can get, right?
All right, yeah, that works.
You still suck at driving.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
You're a just good remember dad when you, stuff. When you strap our daughter into that car seat.
You've been a great father. Horrible driver. Yeah.
Bad driver.
Who or what was responsible for the damage done? 206-421-ROCK.
Ivan, like your new girlfriend. She's nice, but you suck at driving.
Very nice. She treats her child very well. Hope you don't drive her anywhere. Hello, Randy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Hola.
So I was 16. And, well, so my mom had a car, and she had just gotten 4 new tires on it. And that day, so then the next day, she wakes up, and one of the tires is flat in the driveway. So she calls the tire place, and she's like, hey, you know, one of the tires are flat. They were super nice. No problem. Came out, fixed it, gave her a new one, and she was about her business for the day. The next day, I was only 16, asked if I could go up to the mall with my sister. She never let me take my sister anywhere because I was a young and experienced driver. She was afraid I would take us both out, and she let me take my sister. So instead of going to the mall, we decided we were going to joyride. Uh-huh. So we're riding around, hanging out, and I go to make like a sharp U-turn in a neighborhood, and I completely clip the curb, hit the curb, the tire goes almost instantly flat. And I'm not where I'm supposed to be. So I know that she just had problems with the tires. So instead of telling her where I'm at and what happened, I decided to drive home on the rim and pull up in the driveway. And I played the, I didn't know what to do. I, you know, was on the road and I just thought I should come home. So instead of me ever getting in trouble for it, she called the tire shop, raised all kinds of cane. They came out, gave her all new tires, refunded her money, and to this day, she still likes to bring up the story about how her poor Randy was so scared and didn't know what to do, she drove all the way home on the rim, and I will never be able to tell her that I was actually...
Okay, wait. All right, now hold on. She's on her deathbed, right? And then she's still thinking... No. She said, Randy, just tell me one last secret. Would you tell her then, like, hey, listen, man, I wasn't really scared about driving in the rim. I flattened your tire.
Okay. If that happened right now, right? What would you do? What would you do differently if it was your own car?
I wouldn't have gone so fast around the turn.
Okay. And then once you popped the tire, you didn't mean to do that. Then what would you have done?
I probably would have stopped, called someone. And this was before cell phones. I didn't have a cell phone to call anyone.
That's problematic.
Would you ever think to use your spare tire and just use that to get home?
I mean, now, yes.
Okay, that's what I was going for.
But you can't do it on mom's car because they're new tires.
But you can always take the spare, take it home, park it, put that rim back on, drop it.
Oh, I see. So your deception is...
I don't want to ruin the rim, because if I ruin the rim, they're going to know.
But before mom notices, you're putting the old tire back on.
Correct.
And then you're going Randy's plan.
Absolutely.
See, for a second, I thought you were going to be stand-up. He's teaching you how to be a better crew.
Yeah, right, get in there.
Don't ruin the rim. That way a new tire can still go back on it.
Deception.
Yeah, but the way I did it kind of hooked mom up because she got a refund for her 4 tires because they were so upset. So it kind of helped her out.
Yeah, Miles.
Because
she drove on the rim.
Did she buy,
because she was so scared, and that's the whole point that mom got to sell to them. Hey, man, my daughter is freaking out, right? Because your goddamn tires went flat, so she gets the full
refund. My question is, did she go to a tire shop that, like, the fence has, like, all the hubcaps you can buy, and then they just have tires stacked in the front because they're all retreads?
I mean, no. She did, like, the full-on, brand-new, all-floor maintenance on her vehicle. And that's why I think they did it, because she was so upset the day before. Not so upset. She was actually super cool about the accident. Oh, going to work. Tires flat. No big deal. They came out and fixed it. But she was not happy when it was, you know, I was so scared I drove home.
Because her daughter was in danger, damn it. Right.
Exactly. And I had my little sister with me, so both the girls.
I like your style, Randy.
Yeah, that's all right.
See, I feel where you're coming from. The rim made the difference, Miles. There's nothing wrong with your rim. Mom just simply would have called. She wouldn't have had the aggressiveness of saying my kid was in danger, but just like what he's selling me.
Right.
She went the extra mile, see, by coming home and being scared about it.
She sold it, dude.
She sold it, bro. That's right.
Now mom's got fresh tires.
I hope if my kids are going to lie to me, they at least know how to tug at those emotional strings. Like, look, deceive me if you can, because right now you suck at it, but deceive me if you can. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to sell it like that, I might even be proud of it.
My stepfather begrudgingly gave me his car when I was like 17 years old.
What kind of car?
It was an Audi 5000. He loved the car. He bought it like a 1978.
All right.
So it was an older car, but it was really nice.
Yeah, it's an Audi 5000.
Like anything else, he's like, hey, look, I'm going to hook you up, and before I give you this car, I'm going to put four brand new Pirelli tires on.
Ooh,
he's Pirelli. Like, they're really good, they're all weather, blah, 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 you know, you won't slide, anything right. like that. I'm driving with my buddy Jeff, we're going down this hill in West Virginia, it's raining, it's wet, I make a right-hand turn, car doesn't stay in the lane, I smack into this dude. Jeff goes through the windshield.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Jeff.
Because they didn't have the...
Jeff ruined the whole thing.
This is Jeff's fault.
I look over, he's bleeding and all that. Like, he hit the rear view mirror.
Oh, Miles, I hurt my head.
I'm like, dude.
Shut up, Jeff.
So, these two guys come running up to the car. They're in, like, a brand new Buick Riviera. It was a beautiful car.
Right.
Completely total. And Jeff's all bloody, and he's kind of hanging up on the dashboard a little bit because the windshield in those cars, they didn't have the glass in the middle,
right.
or the plastic.
Yeah,
so when he hit it,
glass.
It just popped out, right? It's like, boom, and the whole thing's gone. And Jeff's like hanging there. I'm looking at him. He's already have a jacked up nose anyway. So it's just blood is pouring
out. Jeff, not
face.
So bad.
You were ugly when this started.
So I'm like sitting there. I'm sitting there behind the wheel of the car, and I'm just cussing because I just got this car. I'm like, God darn it, blah, blah, blah. I'm not really paying attention to Jeff. So the guy.
With a jacked up nose.
The guy that went through the windshield.
Yeah. I'm not paying attention.
No, I'm not.
To the only other passenger.
So the guy.
That's
I
not
look,
fully in my
I
vehicle.
I look over after my cuss tantrum. And the guy who I hit, he's got a cloth, and he's compressing it on Jeff's face to stop the blood. And I'm like, we're all right, man. We're all right. He's like, he's not. I'm like, he'll be fine. You know, just like, car was gone. I mean, I had it for 2 weeks, car was gone. Completely total.
How's
Brand
Jeff?
New tires.
Did Jeff make it through this?
Yeah, he's fine. He's good.
He's still ugly?
No. He's a good young guy.
Did you have to pay for the other guy's car?
Oh, yeah. All totally. It was total. Both cars were total.
Oh.
But I just got the car. I mean, I just got the damn car. Sucked. Because I knew I could have picked up some
How do you think Jeff feels?
He
sounds like you're mad about this.
He had a big, big knot for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, his head went through a windshield.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. Hey, wear your seatbelt. Who or what was responsible for the damage done? 206-421-ROCK.
Also, that story's not, teach that's yeah, not that surprising. You just get a car. You just get a license.
I mean,
like,
it's
going to happen.
But see, your stepdad doesn't help. Because guys like to do this, and we feel real good about our purchase. We're going to tell you how good this product is that we research. It can be a freaking vacuum cleaner. Nothing sucks dirt out of carpet.
The problem was,
once you tell him, like, hey, man, these are good tires, you won't slip or nothing. Well, telling a teenage boy that means it won't slip or nothing. And guess what? It slipped in something.
So, you know, like anything else, car gets towed to the impound lot. It's totaled, right? So I finally get home. You have the sit-down conversation you always have, which goes like this. Why did you wreck your car? What was going on? Well, it was slick. I was going too fast. I went around the turn. The brand new tires didn't hold.
Right.
The brand new tires didn't hold. In the rain, it just started to rain. I think the roads were a little slick. I don't know. Who did you hit? I hit a guy in a brand new car, totaled his car too. All right. Well,
Jeff might be dead.
You know, yeah. How's Jeff?
How's your friend? The jack up nose.
Jeff's fine. In the meantime, like, his mom's calling my mom, going like, how bad's Miles? Messed up because Jeff's pretty messed up. They're like, Miles is fine.
Jeff doesn't even know his name is Jeff now.
Right, exactly. So,
Miles is fine.
But Miles is good.
So, you know, like, well, Jeff's good. He's, you know, doesn't need stitches or anything. So then the conversation turns the way it always does. All right. Well, as long as no one was seriously injured and you guys made it out all right. That's the positive part of the story.
I'm still going to kill you, but I do appreciate this.
So just so you know, I do want to stop and look at the car at the impound lot on the way home from work tomorrow, see if there's anything salvageable. Maybe I can sell the tires.
Right.
Maybe I can just, you know what I mean, do something with the car. Maybe the car's fixable. I don't know. So the next night was the worst because he just comes home, man, like hands on the hip, like he saw the car. He's like, what did you do, you dumbass? You know, like, he was so pissed once he saw it. He's like, my baby. You know what I mean? Like, you ass. That car was impeccable. Like, he's the guy who, like, washed his car every weekend.
Yeah.
He vacuumed it out.
The only thing that looks worse than that car is Jeff.
If his shoe had a little leaf on it, and he got it on his floor mat. He picked that little leaf off and threw it out before he got out of the car. You know what I mean?
My father's like that to this day. He has always, I told Miles this, man. We were, I'd gone to a movie with a friend. I'm like 10, 11 years old. He picks me and my friend up. He's driving us back home. I am finishing a handful of M&Ms. All right, peanut M&Ms. There were three in my hand. I remember this. And I pop them in my mouth, and but I'd already gotten in the car. My father makes eyes with me in the rearview mirror and just says, "Steven, if I find one M&M in my car, it's going to be you and me." And this was a threat. That, and I'm like, oh, my God, man. Mm-hmm. Right? Yep. So, like, all I'm
These
doing.
These are people.
I'm just finishing my.
But you understand.
Thing. About 2 months ago, my mother's all excited. She's like, we went outside, we get in the car, and there's just something wrong with the inside of the car. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, just hang on. We can't figure it out. There was a slug in there, and it had been in there at least for a week, but apparently it left slug trails everywhere. Oh. And I'm like, that's the reincarnation of that M&M that I did not drop in your car, by the way. That's what you get, old man.
Slugging it around.
I don't know what it was when we grew up. Car culture every weekend. First of all, something needed to be done to the car. If you got brakes, you put them on. If you needed a muffler repaired, you did that. If you wanted your oil change, you took care of that. Filter, the whole deal. And your dad was always a person that was in charge.
Always.
And if it was like, look, Dad, the oil's changed. The filter's changed. You know, we got new brakes on this car. We rotated the tires. We did this. Well, it needs a coat of wax. What?
You know, like, it was never a second. Like, you had chamois and you had, like, turtle wax. And
the car was everything, man.
I mean, every single waking minute that you weren't cutting grass, you were doing something with a car you couldn't drive.
You can't drive this.
My father used to wipe his down with baby oil.
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, dude, I mean...
And then when it would, like... I remember 1 year, it was like... There was, like, a massive ice storm, right, in D.C. And it's like, how is he not slipping? Well, he was a smart man. He put on his old school golf spikes and still went out there, like, in freezing temperatures to wipe down the damn car.
Yeah, a car was an extension of your penis.
Yeah.
In this weird way. Like, you would never go on a date without your car being washed.
Immaculate.
Without it being vacuumed out. Without the windows being cleaned. For some reason. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely necessary.
But car culture is a lot like baldness. It skips a generation sometimes.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, you get in a car, my buddy, like, you have to pick up a McDonald's bag to sit down. And
For sure.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, all his homeworks and books. Who or what was responsible for the damage done? 206-421-ROCK.
Mike's going to be one of those car dads.
Yeah. You will, but it'll be weird because if there was a messy family, as far as the car went, if there was a family where they kind of let it go, it was always a family that had a station wagon. And they made it clear, like, look, we need the extra storage. Mm-hmm. That's the purpose. So when you got in their car, like you said, man, and back then you're moving the styrofoam McDonald's containers. But, Mike, you're going to be the weird guy that owns a station wagon, but it's going to be immaculate.
Yeah.
And no one's going to understand why.
And then after you're done with all that, then everybody gets real tacky, especially on your first car, and you start doing, like, car art and decorations. Ones that seem like they'd be feasible, like there was a spinning ball that showed you what direction you were going.
Oh, the compass!
Stuck it on top of the top of that. Everybody either
in case
had, like,
you drove not knowing what goddamn direction
people
you
had, like, like you'd have your normal seat that wasn't good enough.
Oh no,
they'd have wood beads, or sheepskin covers.
Beaded chamois, baby.
You know, sheepskin covers on the seat.
Mike, you know what I'm gonna do. For your station wagon, I'm going to get you some truck nuts.
Right.
You put it on the back of that station wagon and says, I'm a man, sort of.
You get the truck nuts, I will put it on that station
wagon. For some reason, no radio was acceptable for any car.
Oh, not standard.
You had to put in your own radio. Like, everybody had their own radio.
For sure.
It wasn't even like...
But they never put it in right. Like, you could tell because it's like, hey, man, there's like an inch gap on the left side. Yeah, yeah, but that's an Alpine. You got... Okay.
Then if you
got to take the face with you.
You start tending windows. You do all these things. You know what I mean? And then 2 weeks later, you wreck the car.
Right.
I mean, honest to God. That's the way it went. Every single time. You have stuff hanging from the rearview mirror. You know, I mean, you're that guy. Who or what was responsible for the damage done? 206-421-ROCK.
Burris did it once. The girlfriend he was dating at the time paid for him to get his windows tinted.
All right.
And then, like, 2 weeks later, that sounds so terrible. He comes into our apartment. And he's just, you know, he's not feeling right.
Okay.
What's wrong with you? He's like, well, I was working. I might have had a couple drinks. And I just crashed my car in the garage. I was like, what? As he was parking it, he drove it over the, like, parking stop thing and just rammed it into a wall.
Jesus. Were your windows too dark, bro?
Right. Was it the tent? Was it that presidential? Did it get you?
You should have asked him.
Right. I just was like, what the hell? Get by this, like, 4 in the afternoon.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen. How are y'all doing tonight?
Hola. Doing great, Ken. Thanks, man.
Hey, I got a little story to tell you about me and my little brother when my grandma and grandpa picked us up at the farm. This happened about 60 years ago. I'm 68 now. My little brother was 6 then. And anyway, they picked us up out there at Windsor and took us into town, and Grandpa said, well, we got to stop by a farmer's union there, and we got an implement dealer, and I need to get some stuff for your dad. And so my grandma and grandpa walked in there, and the car was parked across the street from this lot, and there was a tractor sitting over there, and my little brother rolled down the window and started looking at him, and he says, hey, Kenny, I'm going to be right back. I'm going to go over and hop in them tractors. I said, you're going to get your butt whipped. Anyway, he went over there anyway, jumped on a tractor, was messing around with it, and started it up. And he couldn't get to shut off, and it started taking off on him. So he bailed off on the thing and ran back across the street and hopped in the car. Meanwhile, this thing is heading towards a building that my grandma and grandpa just walked into. And anyway, the thing creeped up there, and it's an old row crop John Deere with a side flywheel on it. It went up the side of that building, came up on the front end, tipped over on its side on the wheel, and started going around in a circle. My grandma and grandpa come walking out of the John Deere place there. Grandpa sees that thing going on its side. He runs back in there. And these two guys come out, and they look at it, and the other guy runs back inside and grabs a broom, comes out there, and he's trying to stab the doggone switch on the thing and shut it off. It was comical as heck watching him trying to do that. Meanwhile, my little brother and I are sitting there, and we're starting to sweat now because Grandma and Grandpa are heading towards the car. And I was shocked when they got in the car and didn't ask us what happened over there.
That means they didn't want to know.
That's exactly right, partner. That to this day, to the, over their dying grave, they still don't know that we done that.
That means they knew.
And technically, but, you didn't do anything.
Yeah, you didn't.
Yeah, you can blame your brother on that.
I yelled at him, jump off that thing, and at least he didn't get killed, you know, doing it, because he just missed the PTO shack when he jumped off.
Jesus.
But, yeah, and then, you know, we went to catechism after that. They dropped us off at the Catholic school, and then took us shopping over to Woolworths, and, like, nothing happened, man.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you weren't struck by lightning, bro. So you stepped out of that car. Trust me, they knew. That's why they didn't ask.
Did all of us Catholics go to Woolworths?
Apparently everybody did. You can get breakfast in there.
Yeah, the five and dime, yeah, sure.
Ryan Castle on the way. He'll join us from his Dungeon Basement Studio. We will sit and spin with the 10 biggest boy band songs of all times.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.